It's still October 22nd, 2017. I'm still in the Lucy Coleman studio. I thought that I would do a second hour today and present it to you because I think it's important for me to share certain things with you. It reminds me as I look back, and I found this on my website, Raptured in Shame is what I was going to entitle the book that I was writing, Feeling the Tension. I look at the black church in the inner city from the perspective of a biblical pastor in a multicultural church. I started to write this in 1995. It was in 1997 that basically I was ousted from the church that I was pastoring in because of my views on how one should become an independent thinker. I started off the treatise by saying Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, the main worship hour in the black Baptist church all over the country. This was to be a time that many in our community came together to come in contact with God with an attempt to speak to a people seeking direction in spiritual matters. It is also a time, I wrote, where the people, with all of their cares, trials, and anxieties, are seeking freedom from the cares of this life and become lost in the wonders of God's amazing grace. Now, that's where I started that treatise off. And where I am today and what I'm going to read to you today is going to be a true look at where we are as a people. Not only where we are as a people, but where we are as a thinking community mind. I want to read a letter to you, a little note sent to me on my Facebook page, and I'm going to read it as it is. If I go de-doot, that's because the person is cursing. Person is from my bloodline. They come from the same blood that my mother comes from, the same blood that I came from. First cousin, writing to me. I'm going to read this note, and then I'm going to share with you the truth behind it and why I put no trust in people that go to church that hear a misrepresentation of what a pastor is supposed to do. This person wrote me and said, I'm at Kaiser. I almost died. Okay? And you living the don't give up about your life mentality. But one day you will be asked by God himself why you did ignore your own flesh and blood, and you call yourself a pastor, but you live in the life of a sinner. One day the party will be over for you, and you will have to answer to God, just like me and everyone he has created. Tell your maker I was living the life and didn't care that my cousin needed his family at this time in his life because he needs a kidney and love from his family. The hellfire will be your eternal resting place, quote unquote. And he sent that to all of his friends on Facebook, and of course he had it attached to my Facebook so they can go to my Facebook and see who I am, to see what I'm all about. Well, I'm giving a response, and I will attach this to my Facebook sometime today if people want to hear this cast, and so that I can give you the real scoop. Now, I'm not going to give you the person's name. You're going to have to do the research and go to my Facebook yourself to get his name. I won't even mention it because I cannot believe what my cousin wrote. My cousin, his kidneys are failing. He's on dialysis. All right? I will tell you that he's had money and funds and a home and people in his life. But due to his own whatever, he's homeless. He knows that I assist young men, but I won't assist him because I know my cousin. I've told my cousin why I will not assist him. If you're on dialysis, you're not my child. You're not my responsibility. It is not only my responsibility not to feed you, not to clothe you, not to provide shelter for you, or anything of that sort, unless I choose to do. If it were any other relative of mine in that condition, I have told them that. The only persons that I am responsible to take care of in this life are my children and my grandchildren, and any other person that would live next to me as a son, like those two guys that you heard talk on my webcast prior to this webcast. Those are the people. Wait a minute. As a matter of fact, when one of my boys was in Papua New Guinea and he contracted a horrible disease, malaria, because of his own, he would tell you why he contracted malaria when he went to Papua. He didn't take the meds that he was supposed to do to protect his body from the environment. He contacted me when he was there and said, "Old man, I'm dying and I need you to send me a ticket to come back home to the country." Do you think I sent him a ticket? The answer is no. Because when he left the country, I said, "You're leaving as a grown man. You're on your own. You're living as a grown man, doing what you want to do, thinking the way you want to think, and you will suffer the consequences of that behavior. Do you understand?" He told me yes. I said, "Because what I'm doing is I'm mentoring you to be a man." You heard a man speak on the last webcast. Well, you just heard the words of another man getting close to 50 years of age. Write me. His own first cousin. Because he's under the delusional impression that I'm supposed to take care of his life. No, I'm not. Now, he gets this idea because someone in his family told him, and I quote, "If you ever get in a jam, you can call on Pastor John, because Pastor John loves brothers so much that he will bend over backwards and help you out because he is a godly man." Well, so when he contacted me, I got his mind right. I don't owe you anything. I'm not giving you anything. Whatever your life brings upon you, is just like whatever my life brings upon me as a grown man. And I'm going to answer the letter, every point about going to hell. But I'm not going to send it to him. He has to go to my website and listen to my webcast. His friends that is attached to my Facebook will have to go to my website. Now, they'll be able to hear it on Facebook if they want to listen. But like I said, I'm not going to give his name because I have that much respect for him. I'm not going to give you the insights as to why I cut him off, because that's none of your business. I don't put other people's business in the street like he did me. That's why I'm canceling my Facebook and all social networks. Because these social networks, as I said, it's a fallacy. It's a fallacy of it, because when you don't get your way, what you're going to try to do is use this social network to bescathe someone's character. Let me share something else with you. Because I revealed to my family and to the public who I am. And what I believe in. Not dictated by a group of racist black Christians that has bescathed not only gay people, trans people, and all other kind of people, because that's what they do. If you don't operate in their corner with their culture, they're going to send you to hell. That young man that made that statement to me doesn't even know the ramifications of his words. God ain't sending me to hell because I don't take care of nobody that I'm not responsible for. I only take care of people that I'm responsible for. My children, my wife, my grandchildren. that is my offspring from my loins. I only take care of those. I assist people with counseling. I assist people with shelter. I assist people with food when I can, when I have the money. Now I'm at a time in my life when I need someone to assist me. And this in-law of mine thinks that as a pastor, I'm just supposed to drop everything and take care of his living accommodations, his food, his gas. I didn't tell him to buy that big old 8-cylinder gas-sucking, whatever that big sports car he is he drives. I didn't tell him to buy that. I drive a Mini Cooper. I fill up my tank once every 3 weeks in Los Angeles because I can't afford to drive my Lexus like I used to. That's why I gave it up and bought a Mini Cooper. I didn't give it up and buy a Mini Cooper so I can take care of my cousin's life. I also leave instructions for my family. Before you come by my house, you have my home number. You call me. You tell me what your objective is before you waste your time coming over here. And if your objective is money, you're a lost cause. I only give you money when I want to. The young man came by my house one day and really needed a helping hand. I had a few dollars. I took him by the gas station, put $50 worth of gas in his tank. He didn't have to ask me twice. I said, boy, come on, let's go. So he thinks that any time he needs gas, he can come by here and fill up. I told him, no. You don't do that. I'm not getting in a financial hole because you have a need. You people, listen to me. I am a godly man. I am. But I will not listen to people that tries to tell me how to live my life. No preacher, no family member, no human being. I live my life according to whose standards? Mine. Now, if I'm going to hell because I don't take care of you, if I believe something as foolish as that, it takes really a twisted mind if you ask the average individual, what is this heaven and hell all about? Heaven and hell is never contingent based upon something of someone else's culture that you disagree with. See, I don't even want to go deep and tell you what I know of this individual. I won't do that because that's none of your business. And that's not what I do on my website. But I just thought that I'd make this other little clip to let you know that when people send me things like that, now I could block him from my Facebook, but I'm not going to block him. I want him to continue to put out all this mess he can until one day he goes there, he will see that he's blocked from my phone. You know what one of the people on the Facebook thing told him? Try to sue him. You can't sue me for refusing to feed you. You can't sue me for refusing to let you come and live with me. You can't live with me. Why are you living with me, cousin? I'm not concerned about you. Wait a minute. The man was at a place living comfortably, and then he got kicked out of it because of his own behavior. And you know the people that follow you on Facebook, he's not going to tell you that. He's not going to say, oh, and I have another cousin that I can bring in here in this studio that will tell you point by point why this individual family member needs to grow up. Now, I'm sorry for anybody that is dying young because they have a kidney thing. I have a very dear friend of mine. As a matter of fact, he's my personal barber that is waiting on his kidney also. And I have much respect for this man. And this man works every day of his life. He's on dialysis too. But he has never, and he drives a Cadillac, brand new. The thing is off the chain. And this person is a barber, and he's never asked me to take care of his life. He's always respected me. He knows about my life. He knows about the people that I go in, because you know what? Hey, just, you know, I deal with gay guys a lot. I don't spend my energies on straight dudes that get in with women, and the next thing you know, they're in with all these women, and they in trouble because of women. I don't deal with that. I tell a man, when you make a choice to get with somebody and you start living a particular way, a certain kind of way, and you can't justify that life and you get in trouble, how dare you contact me? How dare you contact me? I'm not your money man. Even my children know that. I tell my children, ain't nobody using me and abusing me, nor am I using and abusing anybody else. I don't be dealing in behavior that is risque like that. I don't do that. I just have a heart towards people that think more like myself. Because see, this cousin of mine, not thinking like me at all. And since I have friends and I invite them over and we cohort, I'm going to hell. Well, thank you for your estimate of that, but I don't do my theology that way. Not at all. I am free and independent of anyone else's twisted demeanor, and to do what this man did to me is unspeakable. I just thought that I'd give that, and other than that, I'm not going to give you any more information because I'm really embarrassed for him. And I hope he does well with trying to get a kidney. And when we all die, you know what the Bible says? Listen, we must all die and give an account of the deeds done in our bodies, whether good or bad. Now, let me tell you something. You asked me to assist you, and you've had the means to assist yourself, but did not take the opportunity to do right. I'll be damned if I'm responsible for your shipwrecked life. Now, to keep it plain and to keep it real, that's what Mark Ridley Thomas said, to keep it real, the day that I'm responsible for everybody's life is the day that I become a god or a deity. I am neither. I'm not trying to be that. I don't want to be that. This old 73-year-old man lives on a very tight and limited income and will probably die a pauper's death because, as I told you on the last cast, church folk that I was pastoring did not have a life insurance, anything set up for me. Anything. I had to pay for all that on my own. Now I'm living a meagerly life of a senior citizen at 73. But because I'm still well, and let me tell you, all these people that were speaking against me have come down with diseases and everything else. I don't have no disease. And if I wanted one, all I have to do was, you know, get with somebody and not use a condom. I ain't doing that. I'm just keeping it real as the day is long. Don't think that because someone's nature is not like yours, that someone's nature is risque and it's going to lead that person to death. No, I know enough people in the church that I've told to stop screwing women that ain't their wives. I know enough people in the church that was on my board, and I here recently found out that they was screwing people in the church. Don't talk to me about black church people. Don't do that. That organization is one of the most scandalous organizations out because you're covering up stuff, and then when you catch something on somebody else, what do you try to do? You try to crucify them to hide your BS. All I can say is that if my cousin ever comes to my personal website and listens to this on his cell phone, he will know that my love for him as a human being abounds forever. But I'll be damned if I'm going to take care of you or anything about you when you had just... I remember when this young man was a young lad. I was freshly married to my wife, Lucy. And I went by them there where he lived in the family house. You have to understand, he lived in the Guyton house, family house that my grandfather had set up for our bloodline. Because my grandfather died of a heart attack. And he had sons and daughters living with him that never worked, never produced anything, and I believe brought him to his death. I'm not going out like that. When I get a few dollars, I'm going to buy me a nice bottle of red. And I'm going to taste that wine, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to play my classical music and love it where I am. I'm going to love the life that God has left for me. I'm going to talk to God and praise him for what he's done for me, and I'm going to try to continue. As you heard on the last webcast, I'm going to continue to strive in the lives of young men that want to do better and know me. But family members that are going to try to leech off me and take what I have as a senior citizen. See, and you don't want me to get deep into detail, because if I do, no one would ever speak with this man again. I'm not going to do that. So I'm just going to block his name from my phone and from anything else that I do, and have nothing to do with him. And when he shovels off this mortal coil, I won't even attend the funeral. I did not attend the funeral of the people that were members of my church that died in a shameful way. And here I am still making webcasts and still sharing with maybe some of the people that don't know me as well. Look at what your people would do to you. The African American community is sick and in trouble. It is not an African American pastor's retired. It is not his obligation to take care of someone that did not do their lives properly to discover how to exist. Like I said, I was speaking with my daughter, and I apologize. I said, I'm sorry for getting into a job thing where I thought that these people really love like I love and would look out after a man. And my daughter, thank God, said, Daddy, you didn't fail us. You never failed us. Look at us. You and Mommy enabled us to go to university that most people never think about going to, making money that we couldn't have made unless you sacrificed everything for us. I'm still in this little house because me and Lucy put both of our daughters through UCLA and helped them on to do other work. Now, you think I'm going to help a cousin that would send me a letter like that because it's his time to die? When my time to die comes, let me say this too about dying. I'm going to die, and I'm not afraid about facing God. Because a God that knows me know that I love everybody I meet. But God gives me enough sense to cover my ass. Now, did you hear that? And I'm not going to do anything that would jeopardize that and that would jeopardize my integrity. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't like the way I'm living in your life, you can quietly just go on and go where you are. I had a young man in the studio. When he gave his account of what he saw, he began to cry in the studio. You didn't know that. Because I tell him, you all whole heart. It's going to get better as you keep putting forth that better foot. Don't look for no man to help you do anything. I'm constantly putting people out of my life because I have spent a heck of a lot of time trying to assist them, and when they show me in the real that they have no loving concern about the counsel that I'm giving them, I cut them off. I'm not concerned about what happens to them. Somebody told me recently, a young man that I was ministering to, he's so hungry that his eyes are sunk back in his head. You know that breaks my heart to see that a person is suffering to that degree. But when you get up off your butt and do what you're supposed to do, things will change. If you trust God for yourself, stop looking to the pastor. Pastor's not supposed to take care of you. Ever. All he's supposed to do is to give you the truth. And you're supposed to take that truth and do what you're supposed to do with it. So to my cousin and to anyone else that doesn't like the way I'm living, that's your problem. Stay away from me. Don't ever say another word to me. I don't care to hear from you. It ain't got nothing to do with love. It has something to do with peace. Because the Bible tells me that thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God. So my mind is on God, not on my cousin, not on anybody else. And I'm not trying to save all the refugees coming from those countries. That would be like, you got to give all the money you have to save the boat people because they don't have anybody to anywhere to go. I feel sorry for them, but I'm here, and I'm not going to go out trying to be God to everybody. Just thought that I'd share it with you. God bless you for coming to my website. I had to do this part two because, there it is. Love you guys. Take care now.